Parshas Vayetze. There's a lot going on in the parsha. I'd like to focus on a few very important points. Let's start with the Emes Yaakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. He asks a very strong question, right? And I'll say B'derach Mashal. If your father asks you to go to the to store to buy some milk, buy some groceries, he gives you a direction and a mission to accomplish. So, are you allowed to stop off and learn Torah? Yes, the answer is absolutely not. Right? Limudat Torah is not docha something that's iyaf shalasus ayidei echerim. If it can't be done by anybody else, which means the father only asks the son to go to do this mission, so he can't stop and learn. So Yaakov Avinu was sent to go get married, to marry one of the daughters of Lavan, to go to Beis Lavan. And what does he do? He stops off and he learns for 14 years. Why was he allowed to do that? So question number one. Question number two, actually, Yaakov Kamenetsky asked the other way. The man, Yaakov Avinu, is 63 years old. He spent 63 years in the house of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, we know, is a tremendous person. He went through the Akedah. He didn't learn Torah from Yitzchak Avinu. Bam questions. So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that where did he go? Where did he learn for 14 years? He lived in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Now, Shem Ve'Ever are people who lived through the Dora Mabul and Dora Flogo. They lived through challenges. They lived through years and environments of distraction. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu knew if he's going to the house of Lavan, he knew what Lavan was about. The only way he can go there and survive and come back and say, Tarik Mitzvah Shemarati, if he spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. And so Yaakov Kamenetsky explains beautifully the answer with the following mashal. It's the same thing as if your father tells you to go buy a lulav and esrog. And what do? You don't feel well versed in the halachas of lulav and esrog. So what do? You go to the base measures and you learn all the halachas of lulav and esrog. That's not disobeying the advice of your parents. That's not disobeying the direction. If the parent tells you go buy a lulav and esrog and you don't feel equipped, you don't feel capable to go ahead and buy the lulav and esrog properly. So of course, part and parcel of the mitzvah of fulfilling the mission of what your parents told you was to go ahead and learn the halachas. So that's exactly what happened with Yaakov Avinu. They told him, Yitzchak and Rivka told him, go to Beis Lavan. And he said, I can't fulfill that mission unless I go to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years and learn there. And obviously, the message is very, very clear. And Reb Chaim Shlomitz also mentions this, that this world, and everything that's going on in the world, in all generations, is not much like Beis Lavan. There's so much going on, there's so many distractions. There's no way in the world without proper preparation and setting up a proper value system, a person can stay strong. It's just not possible. And therefore, that's the whole idea of yeshiva. Right? One could ask, what am I doing in yeshiva? I'm not going to learn B'iyun my whole life when I'm about us. I'm not going to have, 13 hours, 14 hours of learning time the rest of my life. But the obvious answer is, you're right. Most likely, some people may remain in Klei Kodesh, some people may end up in Kolo. But statistically speaking, most of the guys in yeshiva, in all yeshivas, they don't stay, it's hard for them to learn full time. But the answer is, when you embark on your life, you need to be prepared. And the best way to prepare is to learn Torah. The Kulaba, everything's in the Torah. And when you inculcate and internalize the messages of the Torah, and you, of course, not necessarily going to learn B'iyun, learn on the high madrig, and learn that kind of hours for the long term. But when you're building your foundation, it has to be founded upon Torah. I mean, this is the reality of the world. The reality of the world, statistically speaking, Jews don't have the opportunity to learn 18 hours a day in their entire lives. It's just not, Hashem didn't build the world that way. Yes, there are people, Baruch Hashem, that are zochah to do that, both in learning, both in teaching, Klei Kodesh, but most of the world is not like that. But you need the yeshiva years to really formulate who you are. That's point number one. Point number two is Chaim Shulevitz says the following. He says, Al Derech, what we just heard from Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the Medrash quotes the pasuk v'shomei la'etz chacham, that Yaakov listens to the advice of his parents and he goes to Beis Lavan. And we're also living in a Beis Lavan. And he says, v'yishka b'mokom ahu. Yaakov sleeps now for the first time in 14 years. And he says, v'yishka, and he slept on what? On a rock. Ma'ashma, he didn't even sleep on a rock in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He didn't even sleep on a rock. So, as Reb Chaim Shulevitz is Medayek. And he says, I'm going to quote the words of Reb Chaim Shulevitz, who didn't live that long ago, Shelo haya zeh b'derach neis. It was not a miracle. It was not a miracle that he didn't sleep for 14 years. It was lo derach neis. I should read the whole thing inside, because it's just amazing what he says. Do we know, do we understand what the real power of a human being is? We say, what, he didn't sit in 14 years? Come on. Not humanly possible. Can we honestly say that we tapped into all our reserves of strength? That we use all our might and all our strength? And he says, what do you mean? When somebody is in a fire, somebody's in a traumatic situation, we know people can lift up cars, people can do unnatural but really natural things when they're pushed to the limit. And I have to tell you that I've heard from countless people. I remember there's a boy who came to visit. He's in med school, and he told me all-nighters. What's the problem? He learns all, he can study for a medical exam with all night without a problem, with ease, and he feels like a fool. Had he known when he was in yeshiva that he could, that he had these kochos, what he could have accomplished in yeshiva. I was talking to another guy recently in dental school, and he's working so hard, and he says to me, If I only knew I could have had this level of hasmada, this level of focus, this level of being able to focus for hours on end while I was in yeshiva, what I could have accomplished. When a person has, the person is, I think scientists say, I think somebody told me, that we use like 10% of our real brain power. Do we understand what, no, is that true? Okay, whatever it is, the point is that we never know. We'll never know what it is, right? And it comes in all areas of life. We're not capable. We can't concentrate for more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. What are you talking about? All of a sudden, when you're watching a big playoff game or something, all of a sudden your eyes are glued and you can't hear about anything else. You're totally focused. So that shows you that you're only focused. It's like back in the day, people used to say, "What do you mean? You know every statistic there is in sports, but you can't remember Rashi, you can't remember Tosis." It's not true. One you care about, one you don't care about. It's just a matter of perspective. So Rechaim Shlomo develops this point. The Gra says, the Chavetz Chaim says in the name of the Gra the following thing. David Melech says, "Sos anochel elam resech, I rejoice in your words, k'moitzi shalom rav," like I'm counting a treasure. "She'oisli kubar Torah k'derecha moitzi shalom rav," he was involved in Torah as if he was counting treasures. "She'ilu yoda ha'odam k'imokum zem nochem oitzu shalom tovus margolios," says the Chavetz Chaim in the name of the Gra. If a person, when he's learning, knows that he's counting diamonds, which is what you are, totally Torah's picha mi'alfa yizoha v'chesef, v'eshiz man mesuyim bilvad k'dei lo'osim, I only have a short amount of time to gather them, hard lo yonim lo yishan afil rega echad. If you know the power of Torah, on top of the fact that you have such capabilities, do you understand how you learn? Right, we know the Gemara tells us, I was just listening this past week to a shmuz about this inyan, right, k'dei lo Torah. Can you imagine? Of course, this means that if in the middle base medicine somebody needs you to save their life, of course you stop learning to save their lives. But in the scorecard, in the value system of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam. When we sit down and learn Gemara, Sukkah Shigavol Amal Masim Amma, we learn the Sukkah of Dolphin Akuma, do we really think we're mamish doing something that's more valuable than saving a life? When we sit down and learn Chumash Rashi, do we really believe that? But if you would, you would put kokochos into it. Mamish. But A, we don't realize that we're that capable. And B, we don't necessarily internalize the value. But is mamish so valuable? So actually, I want to say this. I didn't prepare this to say this over, but this past week in the same shmuz I heard about Ava Satura. So David HaMelech says, "Toivli toras picha me'alfei zoha v'chesef." So one could think that, what does it mean? That we have an option to be Bill Gates or an option to be Ricky Yeager. So everybody would choose to be Ricky Yeager. Totally Torah's picha me'alfei zoha v'chesef. Said the person giving the shir, that's not necessarily true. He wanted to tie it like this. He said that no. Let's say, what's the chat? You have an opportunity, right? You either know the answer to Ricky Yeager's kasha, right? Or you don't know Ricky Yeager's kasha, and it's worth some sort of money. Even there, meaning when it's the slightest extra advancement or extra enlightenment in Limud HaTorah, even that's worth more than all the gold and silver in the world. Not the pshat that, oh, it's like, okay, if I had a choice between Ricky Yeager and Bill Gates, I choose Ricky Yeager. No. Totally Torah speak about even one word of Torah, one explanation of Torah, to David HaMelech. And David HaMelech had all the riches. He had it. And one Nikuda, I think it's based on the Yerushalmi, I forgot exactly the quote. One extra understanding in Torah, that's worth more than all the gold and silver in the world. Even that, totally Torah's picho me'alfei zoha v'chesef. And we see the same thing again. By Yaakov Avinu, he comes over to the well, and there's a huge rock there, and he flicks it off like a cork. What's the pshat? Because Yaakov Avinu was a person of shleimus. He used whatever he did. He used kol chosov, all the strength. It's not supernatural. It was all natural. This person who I was shmoozing with this morning told me that his son said, an amazing thing. His son, who was like 4 or 5 years old, said that he said the rov of the neighborhood. Look, I'm sure the rov of the neighborhood can flick up the rock off the well. Certain understanding what a child understands, that a person has is kul ruchni, kul Torah, his kochos are immeasurable. But the such a mechayev. Just say over the medrash, I think it's in the end of Yalkut Shmoni, at the end of the Parashat Noach. I said it over in the shir recently, but I'll say it again. The medrash tells us about Eliyahu Novi meets a fisherman, and the fisherman is ignorant. Fisherman never, he's not learned bichlal, but he's a fisherman. So Eliyahu Novi says, how are you a fisherman? What do you do? He says, I cut cotton, I make nets, and I go into the water at a certain time, in a certain place, and I catch the fish, and I, a whole expertise. And Eliyahu says to him, a very, very sharp line, he says, what you weren't created for, you can do, but what you were created you can't do, can't be. Meaning, that you weren't created to be a fisherman, but yet you're able to accomplish it. But you were created to learn. But yet what? You can't learn, you can't be. And then the Medrash ends off with the following words, Kihem chayenu, it is our life, orech yomenu, it gives us long life. What's the pshat? What was the Medrash saying? That what's the reason, what's the pshat that a person like that can be an excellent fisherman, but he can't learn? Because that's his livelihood. He understands that his life depends on being a fisherman. But the problem is he doesn't understand that his life depends on Torah. He doesn't understand that if a person would look at Torah as if it's life and death, he needs it to survive, just like he looks at becoming a fisherman because he needs to put food on the table. Mamela, he'd approach learning the same way, the same yisod. If a person would, number one, understand the value of Torah, number two, I mean, that's the value of Torah, and number two, realize that he can't live without it, and number three, what he's really humanly capable of, he can soar. And I've seen over the years, as somebody who had friends in yeshiva, who's seen Talmidim here, somebody who mamish taps into their resources can never know what they're going to accomplish. A guy walks in, he doesn't know squat. He doesn't mamish know squat, and he pushes himself. And we heard recently from Rabbi Pavarsky the idea that, and it's no, Torah is not a normal subject. It has nothing to do with the IQ. Torah is way beyond us. Okay? It is based on Siyata Deshmaya. A person who pushes himself, gets Siyata Deshmaya. That's how it goes. I spoke last night about Nosson Finkel Zatzal, who wrote to Rav Shmuel, thank you for teaching me how to learn Tosfos. And this is a person who was able to learn to 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night on a regular basis, and who built the whole yeshiva and gets shiurim and became a massive Talmud Chacham. Because this is all Siyata Deshmaya. A person never knows what he's capable of doing until he pushes himself to the metal. It's just an unbelievable chayev. And it's so sad. We shouldn't wait till we have to study for a huge test and we're able to focus for hours on end. We should start now. I'm not telling you to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you to but focus. Learn 60 minutes of every hour, 60 seconds of every minute. And mamash, push yourself. You never know what you can accomplish. The same way a person would never think that he could pick up a car when somebody's under it or whatever, something like that. A person never realized, there's adrenaline in so many other areas. Guess what? There's adrenaline in Limud HaTorah. That's number two. First, the kuda that you need to be in yeshiva first before you go to Shema Ever, before you go to Beis Lavan, and the world's like Beis Lavan. Number three, a very quick point. But I think it's such a huge, huge, huge life lesson. I don't want to squander mentioning this as in my closing. Last night, I was doing the Harevna Shailas, and the Shaila was as follows. Back in the day, not so long ago, you called an operator. You called an operator when you wanted to find out the number. It's called the directory assistance. In America, it's 144. In Israel, it's 411. In Eretz Yisrael, a young man, a bacher yeshiva bacher calls 411, and he asks for a number of something in Panim Me'iros. So the operator says, the operator gave the young man the number and said, from Panim Me'iros, it sounds like you're, Lakshan Ashkenaz, it sounds like you're from Jew. Can I ask you a question that's been bothering me? So the boy said, okay, fine, and he answered the question. And then the operator said, I have a very urgent halachic question to ask you. And the boy said, I'm sorry, I can't answer your question. What's the pshat? We learned in this week's parasha, Yaakov Vino, right, if you got the Achlani Chorev, right, and Kar B'Layla, and, okay, I don't have it in front of me, basically, it's brought down above Metzia, Yaakov Vino, right, he worked, no matter how hot it was during the day, no matter how cold it was at night, and he didn't sleep at all, which means he was the most dedicated employee ever. When it comes to being an employee, an honest employee, There are no breaks. So this boy chapt, how sensitive is halacha? How can he talk in learning? How can he even answer a halacha question by the operator? It's not the operator's time. It's the employer's time. It's the boss's time. You can't talk in learning as much as important as it is. Torah, halacha, the boy could not answer. And this is the halacha. Because it's brought in Gemara in Tainus that Abba Chilkia, who was the grandson of Chonai Magal, was approached by Klal Yisrael to come daven, to bring rain for the Jewish people. And he was in the middle of working as a Schir Yom. And he wouldn't even answer hello. He wouldn't even answer shalom. And the Gemara in Markus tells us that he was Paul Tzedek, who was Abba Chilkia. Can you imagine? He could save the Jewish people from. He could get rain for the entire Jewish people. He won't stop working. We know the Gemara in Brachos that if you're working, you only say the first three Brachos of Brachos HaMazon. Can you imagine the honesty of these people and the sensitivity, the understanding? The what I'm trying to say is as follows: when a person becomes an employee of a company, your time is not yours. You're paid by the hour, paid by the day. Again, Kabbalonis is different. You're paid for a project. It's different. But the idea is a person has to be sensitive to Gezel. The Gemara Baba Basra says, right, Reuben Begezel, most people are involved in thievery, right? When a person goes and takes, in my opinion, okay, you can ask a posek, right, if you're going to get a cold drink, if you have an option of taking the paper cup or the plastic cup, it's a big shot of Gezel to take the paper cup. Why? The plastic cup is perfectly fine for cold water, and it's much, much cheaper. So if a person takes a paper cup for cold water, it's a massive shot of Gezel. Right, the cup's on top of the water machine in the dining room. It's there for mealtime. Okay, when you're walking through, you want a cup of water. So okay, up here you can take a cup, a plastic cup during the day outside of mealtime. A person has to be so careful. We assume you can put your phone, plug it in the base medrash. We asked, you're allowed to. But if you go to a random base medrash, who says you're allowed to? Person has to be so sensitive about Gezel. You see Yaakov Avinu, he was working for the most crooked person around. He's working for Lavan. He could have been more ahead to Lavan's treating him disrespectfully, and he's cheating him. It didn't make a difference. He worked in the heat. He worked in the cold. He barely slept. Because a person has to be super sensitive about Gezel, which very often comes not just in terms of walking into somebody's house and stealing something, but also in terms of employee and employer. And an employer also has to pay people on time. So the three sort of number one, is that it was absolutely appropriate for Yaakov Avinu to stop off in Sheva Ever for 14 years because there was no way to survive based on without learning for 14 years. Number two, this is the coup that we never know. We'll never know how powerful and how much strength we have in our Avodas Hashem until we really, really dig deep. Every single person in this room, every guy in this yeshiva is capable of soaring in their learning. It's just, you have to push yourself. And number three, a person has to develop a certain sensitivity to Gezel as an employee, as an employer, as just a person running around, walking around the street. A person has to be very sensitive and very careful about Gezel. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a great Shabbos, guys. Great Shabbos.